It's too much Vaseline.
Oh, do you want me to shut that door? Oh, there's no door. I remember so long and I just was like...
No, I only discovered that there wasn't a door when I first got Boots. And we wanted to keep her in one room because obviously she was a kitten. And I literally went to go to the door of the hinges. I was like, oh.
Also, wait.
Oh, cheers. Nice. Cheers. I didn't make eye contact with you. That means we're going to have bad sex. Not me and you.
I'm not having sex. It's fine. I'm actually celibate right now.
Right. Anyways, hello, everybody. I hope you're all well. Welcome back to Voice Notes with Jordan Teresa. Woo! As you guys could tell by the secondary voice, first of all, this could very easily be a lost podcast episode because there's something up with this microphone, double microphone output thingy that I've got going on.
I can't lie, it looks like it's holding on for dear life.
It literally is, and there's nothing I can do about it. So I guess it's like, there's not a lot of work going into this because it's just the two of us talking. So like, if I lose this, it's like, oh, what a nice conversation me and Jake had. No one will ever see that.
It's just another day in our lives, really. Literally. Just chatting shit, you know?
Literally. Like, to be fair, doing a podcast with a friend must be so fucking easy.
Right? Like, I always think about the ones, like, because obviously, yeah, you do yours solo a lot. And I'm like, that must be so hard because it's just your trail of thought, but like out loud. Whereas like if you have a secondary host who's like your mate, it's like you just sit there and
but the only thing
beans.
I think about is that, like, where do you draw the line of your friendship? As in, do you ever have like a really good conversation? You're like, wait, we're gonna save this for the podcast.
Yeah, they're like, oh my god, the other day. No, think about the business.
Save it for the podcast.
Yeah.
I just realized I haven't introduced you.
Oh my god. Sorry, we just brought a man on just to see what would happen, you know?
Yeah. I bet the same thing that happened when I brought Lem onto my channel. Everyone just went, bear in mind, feminist essays, like, I'm a girl boss
very
doing her own thing.
Yeah.
Women empowerment, right? Why did everyone go crazy as soon as I put a man on the channel? And I know that this is going to happen now.
Everyone's all share the same mind, though. Like, I'm bi, so as soon as there's a man, I'm like, hey, you know.
Slut. So this is my best friend, Jake.
Hi, everyone.
Do you want to introduce yourself, say what you do, how we met,
whatever? Okay, so yes, I am Jake, male, 23 years old.
Why are you introducing yourself like a Reddit?
Oh my god, am I the asshole?
No, am I the asshole? Oh my god, with women it's like, oh, like, I woke up my husband when I was baking a cake for his birthday. Am I the asshole? And then for a man it's like, I petrol bombed my ex-wife's house. And I don't want to see our kids. Am I the asshole?
I started the third world war, like.
Am I the asshole?
Yeah, no. So yeah, I'm Jake. I have known Jordan for a few years. We met over Zoom.
Zoom during lockdown.
We're lockdown friends. And to be fair, we've proven that it can happen and it works. So, you know. But I edit for Ellen O'Neill, also one of our friends. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my main shtick right now. I'm thinking of getting back into YouTube. So
yeah, you do want to do stuff about film.
Yeah, I'm a film bro. No, I'm not. I'm a film nerd and I want to like chat about like films, games, like media, stuff like that. But yeah, I'm just kind of vibing right now. We're friends, we're besties. We've known each other for a few years now.
But it's gotten to the point where it's like, I feel like lost when I haven't seen you, or like, we see each other at least twice a week, I would say.
Yeah, well, two of my housemates are away right now, and the other one, like, I see every so often, but she spends a lot of time in her room, so I'm here every day, like, that sounds like she hates me. She doesn't. She's just more, I think she likes to spend her alone time, which is, I'm the same. But I literally will message Jordan, or she'll message me being like, let's hang out, because what else we do?
But whenever we hang out, the weather's always bad.
Right now,
today,
did you see
yesterday? Skies, there was not, yesterday in London, there was not a cloud in the motherfucking sky. And then as soon as we join together, the weather is always overcast. It's not necessarily raining, even though the last time we saw each other, it was pouring down with rain.
It's because we actually were doing something as well.
Sometimes
we'll just be hanging out here and like, yeah, the weather's not great, but we're not going outside, so it's fine. But we went out the other day for drinks, like, in my local area, and it was like gale force winds, torrential rain. It was ridiculous, and I was like, this has not happened like in so long, and it's just because we're hanging out.
And it was also when I needed to take some fucking pictures of me.
Yeah,
The world does not want to see my Instagram career thrive. I'll tell them that.
God hates Instagram. You heard it.
Real. Oh my god, Instagram real.
It hit my brain before you said it, and I was like mid-sip, and I was like, oh my god.
Sorry, guys, cutting in the podcast here. Just to say, I would like to thank Kitsch for sponsoring this portion of the podcast episode. We have our first sponsor, guys! Oh my god! Sorry if I'm reading off my phone a lot. I'm reading the sponsor off my phone. I had to script this part. I'm sorry, all right? Kitsch has created some game-changing beauty essentials. Kitsch believes that everyone deserves to treat themselves regardless of their budget. They are a female-founded business that actually got their start in 2010 selling hair ties door-to-door. And now if you spend any time on TikTok, they have really grown a very loyal following because their products are so good. Kitsch's bestsellers include their vegan and cruelty-free satin pillowcases, caps, and eye masks. I actually received the satin pillowcase, and I've always used satin pillowcases because I have bleached hair. It's the best thing to stop your hair from getting so frizzy. Their rice shampoo bars, their rosemary scalp oil, and their heatless satin curling rollers say bye-bye to heat damage. These are the original, the OG, and still the best heatless curlers. Don't settle for knockoffs. Get the ones that started the craze. Right now, Kitsch is offering you 30% off your entire order at mykitsch.com/Jordan. That's right, 30% off anything and everything at mykitsch, spelt mykitsch.com/Jordan. One more time, mykitsch.com/Jordan for 30% off your order. I'll get back into the episode. Thank you again, Kitsch, for sponsoring this part of the podcast. The way that we start off podcasts here on Voice Notes with Jordan and Teresa is we will do TV show I'm watching,
okay,
song I'm listening to, book I'm reading.
Oh my god, suddenly my brain is having a panic
so
attack.
Would you like me to go first,
yeah,
or do you want to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
So, we'll start with TV show. TV show I'm watching is, I just finished my second rewatch of Girls on HBO. Mm-hmm. I still need to finish watching You, but I think they really fumbled it with that do you watch You?
I haven't seen any of it, and
well,
it's really
bad. Well,
to be fair,
it's actually pretty good.
I've heard that it's great. This is the problem,
Penn
right?
Penn Badgley's really fit.
When it comes to popular shows like Breaking Bad or that, or like even Game of Thrones for a while, I just don't watch it, and I don't know why. I'm not trying to be like a hipster, but I think my brain is like, everyone else is on that like hype.
It's almost like you feel too far behind to start it.
Yeah, and
like
it's just
to
like,
be fair,
if
I didn't watch Breaking Bad, I watched Breaking Bad when I was like 15, I think. So I think if I hadn't watched it then, I probably would have never watched it because it was when, I think it was just after the season 5 had been released, like the last season. So yeah, but they did a two season. Half season drop.
Like two parts.
Two parts. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they did it a month apart. So I remember when they first did it, I was like, oh my god, You! Ah, like, I haven't watched it in ages. Ah. And then when the second part dropped, I was like, crickets. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, I've got that right now. Yeah, so one of my, just quickly cutting in, shows that I've been on and off of is Attack on Titan, which is an anime and has been out for nearly 10 years, like releasing for nearly 10 years now. And currently, so the last part is going to release soon, and it's season 4, part 3, part 2. What do you mean? Why is it segmented so much? Like, it's got to the point, yeah, where I'm like, the story's great, but like, I just want it to be over.
It even used to piss me off a bit with the way, remember, did you ever watch The Walking Dead when it was in its prime?
Yes.
And they used to do season 5, part A, part B,
yeah,
and there'd be like a 2-month, like, mid-season break. I'm like, just fucking release it all.
Also, why am I waiting 6 months for them to walk around and find another place for them to all set up
camp
and then die?
Don't even. I have beef with The Walking Dead and how shit it got. Like, I swear. Sorry, I want to make sure you're not pulling the wire.
Yeah, the walkers literally just, like, weren't even that important, really.
The show just started to suck. And the thing is, I don't know whether it's because I watched it when I was really young, and like, as I've gotten older, and especially when you compare it to sort of apocalypse shows like The Last of Us, but even The Last of Us, I really enjoyed it, but there was not enough zombies in that.
Well, yeah, because like, I know that obviously it's like a game adaptation, so you're not going to be able to fit every single thing in, but I heavily agree, because I sat there on it the other day and I was like, this is so interesting, because yeah, every villain we've had really has been like a human that's had something happen, like, to do with the apocalypse.
And I think the entire point of it is meant to be like, wow, in an apocalypse, humans are the real monsters.
It's like the TikTok that
you
sent me.
It's
a good TikTok.
It's like, Ellie, get behind me.
To be fair, it is very similar to The Walking Dead. I think it's just executed a bit better.
It is. I mean, that's what happens when you get that HBO money. And also, I feel like that's what happens when TV shows have an end in sight. I think something which a lot of TV shows fall into is that they basically just try and ride the wave for way too long, and they will not end it at a point which is good. So like with Breaking Bad, 5 seasons, every season, even the first one, because people like to say they didn't like the first one, impeccable,
like peak media,
so fucking good. And that's because they had a complete set out storyline. With The Walking Dead, you can tell that they're just fucking writing as they go along, and I don't that's my ick. But then the last TV show I'm watching is Succession. Succession's back on.
I've heard good things.
So fuck, and you know what I love about it? I have no fucking idea what's going on. Like, not a clue. Like, I have to watch it with Lem, and then I would have to watch the second episode without him. I was lost.
Really?
But the thing is that, something that someone said is that a lot of people like Succession because they don't treat the audience like they're stupid.
Mm.
And the thing is that most of the time I don't really know what's going on, but in the end, I always figure it out.
That's the thing. Yeah, I think you just kind of, there are shows like that where you've got to like wait and wait for it to sort of build the foundations, and then you're like, okay, we're in it now. It's getting good, you know?
Yeah.
What about books, did you say?
Well, do you want to say your TV shows?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll say, so, did you say your favourite song?
No, song you're listening to. I haven't said, no. All I've
okay,
said is TV
so TV
shows.
TV shows. I am quite an anime person, so I'm watching this anime right now called Trigun Stampede, which is a remake of the original series, which came out in like the 90s. Mm. But basically, it's 3D animation now instead of 2D. And I really like, I love animation in general. I think like Into the Spider-Verse and all that kind of stuff was insane and has like permanently changed everything. And I think this
Have you watched Puss in Boots 2 yet?
No, but I've
so
seen loads.
So fucking good.
I was going to say, I've seen loads
so
on it.
So fucking good. It's my comfort movie because obviously you know how much I'm obsessed with cats.
But yeah, no, it's like a kind of western-y, futuristic thing. And like, it's very serialized episodes. Like, there's a very contained story, but it's also part of like a bigger plot. I really enjoy it. It's just like a fun thing to whack on like when I'm in bed and I just want to watch something. Also, Schitt's Creek. I've been actually starting to
My mum loves Schitt's Creek.
It's weird because it's not, in my
Can
opinion...
You hear that? Can you close the kitchen door? Yeah. I think Lem's cooking.
I think it's shut.
Jesse, we need to cook.
Oh, yeah, it's shut.
Oh, it's shut. To be fair, you can't really pick it up with the microphones. If you guys hear some sizzling meat in the background, it's my boyfriend.
It's me touching my ass.
It's my boyfriend cooking. He's cooking us a... By the way, it's enough for you. It's a pork curry.
Okay, I might have
if
some.
If you wanted some, yeah.
But, yeah, no. So, Schitt's Creek, I don't find it stereotypically funny. Like, I'm not there, like, laughing. But for some reason, just the vibe of the show, I think they really nailed, like, British humour. And so I'm just there,
I thought Schitt's Creek was Canadian.
Oh, maybe. Either way, it's not obviously a British originated. But I think they've nailed it enough that I'm like, I love it just because of the dreariness. And like,
that's how I feel about Peep Show. But the thing is, Peep Show is one of those shows that you have to be in a really specific mood to watch it. As in, I cannot watch that show when I'm hungover. Like, there's so much cringe. Like, oh my God, like literally go, like I'm one of the people where like whenever I watch The Apprentice, I literally have to walk out of the room when things happen because it's too cringy. Like some people really thrive in that. Yeah. I cannot, I get such bad secondhand embarrassment.
There's levels of cringe I can handle. But then the last show that I've been watching, we started watching it last night, is called The Power, and it's like an Amazon Prime original, and it's about basically like it's set in the modern world, but all of these girls have started getting evolutionary powers like electricity, and it's based off of like trauma. So like one of them was like nearly sexually assaulted, and it sort of awakened this inside of her. So I think it's sort of got themes of like obviously like female empowerment and like, you know, how it's always like men that are doing bad things that cause them to get that, which is really cool. And obviously, you know, I'm a man, so seeing it from that perspective is cool to see. But it's shot really well. I mean, it's like the story so far, I'm gripped. So
cool. Song I'm listening to, I actually need to look on my phone. I've added some bangers onto my playlist. I'm currently creating the perfect summer playlist.
Good, because I'm so bad at playlists. I literally, all I do is I like songs, and then I go on my liked, and I scroll for hours trying to find the exact song instead of making a playlist. It's so weird.
Yeah. I'm listening to a lot of Sugar Babes, but I said that in one of my episodes before. Gabriel Live Garage Remix is really good. I'm Not Alone, Calvin Harris. Summer.
Oh, I have that. I have that. That is quite literally like 10 down on my like songs. I love that song so much. And the one that he did with Nicki Minaj, I think was sick as well.
I've also been listening to, I said this in a couple episodes ago, but Bang 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 Mark Ronson is such a good song. You know, something goes, it goes, to be fair, I'll play it for you and then
like,
I'll get Kath to cut it out.
The bang.
No.
That might have, no, that was Will.i.am. Will.i.am,
sorry. Oh, no, no, no. I discovered that song watching Girls, because Girls is such a good sort of time capsule, because it was all filmed in like 2010.
Right.
So it's like such a good capsule for like 2010s pop music.
Isn't it weird that we're getting pieces on like that now?
Oh my god, have you seen those TikToks of people like, oh my god, I wish I was a fangirl in 2013. Yeah. I'm like, do you?
I saw someone made an edit of like their high school in 2014 and someone duetted it like, why am I in this? I'm only like 20 something. Why is this being made into a nostalgic edit? It's scary. It's really scary.
To be fair, it's going to be really bad when you see people properly getting like, I wasn't a fangirl, but I was balls deep in Pale Grunge Tumblr.
Oh yeah, oh my god, like 1975, like, yeah. Arctic Monkeys, all of that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, songs for me, I really like the Caroline Polachek, Charlie XX remix of Welcome to My Island. I don't know if you've heard it, but her boyfriend George from 1975 did like a remix, and it's so, if this came on in the club, I would be, you know, popping my pussy. It's so, so good. Also, I Don't Do Drugs did a Y2K, like a Y2K remix of the Doja Cat song.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, I really like fast paced remixes of songs that, not like nightcore or like the sped up versions, but yeah. It just like adds a sort of club level to it, where it's like, if I'm out, especially in the summer, like those songs come on, I'm gonna be going crazy. So yeah.
And then book I'm reading, I'm not reading anything because my brain isn't working properly right now.
I just finished a book and it's called it's called The Atlas Six. The Atlas Six. But I picked it up in the airport when we were on the Oh no, I've killed her, I've taken her out. They're just all these people with flat asses, you know. Oh my god. But yeah.
It sounds like something that Quentin Tarantino.
Oh my god, yeah, like the yeah, I know what you mean.
Six.
Yeah.
The Hateful Eight. Yeah. What about the Assless Six?
Oh my god, it does. But no, it is not that. It's called the Atlas Six, and I got it in the airport on the way to Marbella when we went for Eleanor's birthday.
When we nearly missed the flight.
Oh my god. Don't even want to talk about that. That
we've spoken about it so much because we spoke about it on Eleanor's podcast.
Yeah.
Then we spoke about it on her vlog, and then we also spoke about it on the video that we filmed with Adam. So it's like, I don't ever want to tell this story again.
Yeah. Oh my god! But yeah, no, it's about these like six people. It's like magic, basically, in the world, but it's like modern and like a bit more grounded. She just can't get over it. Oh my god.
It's so stupid.
But anyway, yeah, it's about magic and these like really talented people, and basically this guy pulls up and he's like, there's a secret society and you can get in it, but like basically only five can get in. So they basically are like at this kind of school thing, and they've got to just prove their worth, and then something happens and it's
know your worth.
It's a scary, crazy thing, and I'm not gonna say what it is. I nearly just spoiled it.
Wow.
I know. And there's a sequel book coming out, and I had the most nerdy moment where I didn't realise that it wasn't out. I went into a Waterstones. I nearly asked someone. I googled it, it comes out in October, and I was like, imagine if I asked about a book that hasn't released yet. That's
There's something
terrible.
About Waterstones that just like embarrasses me. Yeah. Not like that books are embarrassing, just like I feel like I'm the not vibe. Good enough to be there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I fully I
They
agree.
Do smell fucking incredible though, Waterstones. Oh, I love the smell of a me when I'm Jack Edwards, I love the smell of a new book.
I do though, like, and it's like I know that Eleanor has a Kindle. I couldn't have a Kindle. I need a physical book that I can like feel and like properly open
and smell,
yeah, like shove it in my, you know, anyway,
yeah,
I got a bit weird.
Wow. Intro done. 20 Woo! Minutes in,
yeah.
I've got to do my little shindig, but welcome to Voice Notes with Jewel and Teresa, where I Jewel and Teresa, no, do I say that? What the fuck is my intro? I need to write it down. Basically, welcome to Voice Notes Podcast, where I, Jewel and Teresa, chat all things my life, pop culture, internet trends, reality TV, and so much more. And today, we're talking about our first times.
Oh my god.
So, I don't know about you, but do you remember those videos, like, from every Brit crew and Brit crew adjacent YouTuber, and it was always titled My First Time, and the thumbnail was like,
but obviously because they're so then, PG, yeah, there's nothing to do with that.
It would just be like, so my first pet was actually a guinea pig, and
You're so like right about that though. Like, oh,
it was just to jar me so much. Even though, guys, pre-warning, I have not put the prompt for losing first time having sex, because like, I don't know about you, but first of all, it's not really that much of a story to tell. Second of all, I know that my ex does not listen to my podcast. Yeah. I know that he has far better things to do, but there is a deep fear inside me that he would listen to it and hear me talking about that. I just find that so embarrassing.
It's also just like not that deep, really. Like the whole scenario. I mean, obviously, if it's a really funny and embarrassing story, like tell it. But yeah, but I feel like many people, it's like, I was young and I didn't know what I was doing, and then this happened and then we did it. Like, it's not actually...
They're all very, very similar.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, there's just like, do you ever hear people talking like the most smack about their ex on TikTok? And I think, do you not get worried that he's ever going to see
literally,
this?
It's crazy. Like, I'm there like, you know, obviously I have a few people that I'm like, was with that I'm like, I don't really want to talk to them anymore. But I wouldn't go out.
I still follow all of my exes on social media.
There's no way
I hate the bad blood. Like, I literally hate bad blood. I follow all of my exes on social media. Not sure whether I should say this or not. Might have to get Kath to cut this out. But my ex-boyfriend's mum still likes my Instagram stories.
Oh,
queen.
My mum likes my ex's stuff and asks me about her constantly. And don't get me wrong, I am like really friendly with that ex and we do chat. But I'm like, mum, I don't know.
No, my stepdad still likes my ex-boyfriend's Instagram pictures.
Yeah.
My ex's mum and sister still like my posts and stuff. And I'm like, thanks, guys. I'm like, your love doesn't go unnoticed. Like, do you know what I mean? It makes me feel like, oh, they still like me.
It is interesting for sure.
But
anyway,
what I have got is I have got a mug here and there's different prompts. Funny. There's different prompts in here. And basically, we're just going to get chatting, really, about our first times.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of maybe frisky ones, but like everything is more anecdotal. So if you've come here to get like some story about like sex or something.
My first time with the mafia or something like that.
Yeah, or your first time on Grindr or something, then you aren't going to... To be fair, actually, there is a question about hooking up. So,
oh, is there?
Yeah. Anyways, would you like to choose guest of honour?
Okay. Oh, the first time you drank alcohol. Okay, so I actually think I broke the mold a bit when it comes to like UK stereotypes with alcohol. I didn't have my first drink until I was 16.
What?
And a lot of kids, it's like 13. I mean, that says a lot about our
society. I started drinking when I was 13.
Yeah, like my mum did. And I think it wasn't anything to do with like my parents. I mean, my parents weren't like, go and have a drink. Like, they obviously didn't want me to get on that immediately. But I wasn't also one of those people that was like, I'm never drinking. I just never...
You just never had the opportunity.
Yeah.
That's how I was about like... my like first kiss, for example. I didn't have my first kiss. Oh my god, spoiler alert, didn't have my first kiss till I was 16.
Well, there you go.
And like, it didn't got anything to do with the fact that I didn't want to. It was because no one wanted to kiss me, so
oh no, you needed a bit of gum before you went
it
in
literally no, wasn't even as I breast smell, it's because I was ugly.
We're thriving now. I was just a bit too like not bothered. I was playing my games, you know, I was being a nerd. I just didn't care. And my family are all like quite like, they drink, including like my extended family. And so I went to like one of their birthdays or something and ended up having like a WKD.
That was my first trip. Was it
and
WKD
I was
blue?
Plastered. Yeah, it was like one of the like bigger bottles, and I was there. It was probably a mix of Sugar Rush too, but I was posting on Facebook.
No,
it was bad.
That's
it was
so
bad.
See, my first drink, I was 13. It was at a New Year's Eve party because my neighbours had a New Year's Eve party every year. Blue WKD. Did you know WKD is pronounced wicked?
Yeah, but who says that?
Who says that?
You know,
that's weird. Yeah. But no, it was blue. There's nothing that I can really remember from the night, really. Like, it was just not because I was so drunk, but just because I was 13 years old and I don't really remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and then I started properly drinking when I was 15. And again, it was just like beers. And then when I was 16, did you go through your straight vodka drinking phase?
No. And I think it's kind of crazy that people do. I mean, I think the worst I got was when I was at uni. Because, I had my first drink at 16, but I didn't really delve into drinking culture till I was at uni. Because that's when, obviously, it kicks off.
Mm-hmm.
I was having JD and Coke when I was going out.
You know, Lem and his friends used to have vodka water.
That's crazy. That's,
like,
that's we don't have.
Like, just buy some squash.
Yeah.
Like, vodka water. Like, at a festival, they do vodka waters.
I was going to say, even at the best of times, I can't do vodka. So it's
Well, I used to drink straight vodka when I was 16. My dad's girlfriend, so you know, Sophia's mum, my little sister, by the way, for people not in the know, I have a little sister. She bought me a vodka flask for my 16th birthday, a little hip flask. And I'm telling you, because some parties used to have like security that would not let 16-year-olds in with alcohol, just stuff it down the back of my American Apparel disco pants.
Oh, my.
With my Adidas white superstars on and my Harrington.
I can picture it now, the... Like in the line with all the girls.
And I used to have my pack of cigarettes on me. I used to have silk cut purples.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What is, like, this is culture. This is English culture.
Literally.
Don't deny us of it. No, it's kind of crazy. But yeah, that, I mean, that's my first experience. I think, yeah, I don't massively remember it. I was just a bit like hyper and just a bit like funny. Yeah.
Well, but, yeah. Let me pick the next one. We have... I'm not sure if we have to remember this, but the first book you ever read?
You know what? I was a massive book reader as a kid. I loved books. I was. Like, I remember when I was in primary school, I had, like, one of those... You know the little posters you'd get where it's, like, a book journal?
Yeah!
Yeah, I was... Because I'm, like, a gamer and I'm competitive at that stuff. So I was like, oh, I'm filling this out easy. So I don't... my first book was probably, like, The Hungry Caterpillar or some shit.
Well, not, like, the first proper book.
Okay. Oh, my God, there was one.
I feel like mine was... There were these books called The Faraway Tree by, like, Enid Blyton or something. I think she wrote, like, the Famous Five, right. Maybe. Or it was A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Oh, yeah, no, that was big.
Slapped.
Personally loved Captain Underpants.
Oh my God, I love Captain Underpants!
Yeah. And Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
I never read Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Oh, it was my shit. It's really, like, I've seen TikTok edits of it where, like, it shows the, like, some of the pages. It's still funny. Like, it's very, like, dry humor. Like, I definitely think that is responsible for some of my humor these days. But, yeah, there was this other one about, like, this guy that would fight, like, mythical beasts and stuff. Some, like, Percy Jackson shit. But I can't quite remember. But those were two huge ones. I had, like, loads of those books.
Yeah, I had so many Captain Underpants ones. Or there was this book that I read. So apparently everyone has this universal experience of having a book that they read that... they cannot find it anymore. Like, they read it when they were, like, 11.
Oh, what, like, Mandela Effect, kind of, where it's just...
Yeah, like, it's literally just, like, they cannot find it. And my book, annoyingly, was called the most generic thing ever. It was called The Trap, right? So, yeah, I remember I Googled it, trying to find it, could not find it. And basically, I want to know if anyone else has read this book, but it's about this guy that goes to camp. And I remember something very vivid from it. Basically, there's sketchy stuff going on at this summer camp. But one thing I remember really vividly was his friend was commenting about how the girls have muffin tops.
Oh, my God.
Like, what the fuck? Literally already ingrained eating disorder inside me.
Oh, God.
And then basically it turns out that, like, the monster was basically, like, this girl that was also at the camp that, like, he had a crush on or something. I'm telling this whole plot because I really hope that someone
comments.
You'd be surprised. Like, I said a couple episodes ago that I was playing Star Boutique. The amount of people that left comments and DM'd me on Instagram saying they were playing Star Boutique too.
There you go.
And did you know the creators of Star Boutique have created a one for the Switch? Yes.
Well, I know that there's Cooking Mama for the Switch. This is weird. We're in a real Nintendo DS renaissance right now where people are playing their DSs, like DS games are getting releases on Switch. It's very, very interesting.
The craziest flex of my life was when you bought a 3DS on eBay. And you know what I did? Looked through my cupboards and I fucking found mine with all of my games. All I had to do was buy a charger.
Well, I never had a 3DS because for some reason... My mum was just like, because obviously there were all those rumours that it, like, was bad for your eyes. So my mum was like, we're just not going to get you one. And I was like, fine. Then my brother got one. He was allowed
one. I think
your
mum just doesn't like you.
So
it means that your mum doesn't like your brother.
The worst part about, the worst part though, was that when I was like old enough to start earning a bit of money, I saved up and I bought one, brought it home, and she made me go and take it back and was like, infuriated with me.
That is insane of your mum.
I was like let me do the thing I want to do.
I'm like, a stan of your parents. Like, I stan your parents a lot, but that was insane of your mum.
Like, there are kids out there, like, partying, like, drinking. I just want to play my damn
Too
DS.
Like, let me... a nerd.
Literally.
Like, she didn't want you to buy a DS. She was like, go fucking out.
Yeah,
like,
oh
my
God.
Drink some alcohol, you loser.
She's like, go out and, like, do bad things. Oh, so funny, but yeah.
Would you like to pick the next one?
Yeah, sure. The first time you hooked up with someone.
Ooh.
Okay, so I actually haven't hooked up, like, as in gone. Well, What do you describe as a hookup? Because, so,
hookup to me isn't sex.
Right.
Hookup is when you meet up with someone and the intention, like, yeah, sure, you can do a bit of fluff before, like, have a few drinks, stuff like that. Yeah. But the intention is to have sex with each other.
Okay, okay.
You know, so it's like, and it's very casual. It's like, I guess, I mean, you could constitute it as a date, but basically both of you know that the end goal is to have sex.
Okay, well, yeah, because, so I'm bi, so, like, for the first, like, 20 years of my life, it was very just straight. Everything, straight relationships and stuff. So I wasn't actually the kind of person that would do that. Like, there were hookups that happened, but it was never planned. Like, it would be like, I'd be with them, we'd be hanging out, we'd maybe get drunk, end up doing something, but I wouldn't necessarily class that. I mean, it was a hookup, but it's not like planned. So my first hookup I would consider was when I started exploring being bi, and I actually got it through Tinder, not Grindr.
Really?
Right? Which is crazy, because Tinder's actually quite chill. And he was 32, which I didn't realise at first. I thought he was like 26, but turns out he was 32. And he was like massive.
He
like,
was
built.
Hench.
I was showing everyone. It was great. I was like, no, but like, come on. Like,
he was fit.
Yeah.
He was really
but
fit.
But like, I don't mind muscle on a guy, obviously, but I wasn't looking for that, so I was very confused. I was like, what the hell's going on? Anyway.
I'm not into muscles, you know.
No, but I met up with him, and yeah, he was a student, so, like, went to his accommodation, and
oh my God, was he a mature student, or was he doing, like, a master's or something?
I think he was doing a master's. Mm-hmm. It was, like, politics-y kind of stuff, so.
Oh, was he a Tory?
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't OMG. Ask him for his... I was there for one thing,
wait,
one thing only.
So you didn't... Sorry, I would never fuck a Tory.
I don't think he was.
You know, my mum sent me a... My mum's back on Instagram, so my mum deleted Instagram for a while, but she's back on it. She has been all about
drop
the...
Her a follow, guys.
She has been all about the Archbishop of Banterbury memes.
Oh my God.
Like, she sent me... Or you know what she just discovered? Depop drama. Oh, and she sent me the Depop drama that was like, hey, babe, sorry, I'm not going to... sell this to you because you're a Tory. And my mum was like, is this you, Kiss? And you know what else she sent me? You know the person called the Cozzy Libs?
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
she
yeah.
also sent me, is this you, Kiss?
Oh my God, that's so funny. But yeah, no, so we were like chilling for a moment, like before we did anything, and he mentioned that he'd seen Dom vlogs on my Instagram, and he was like asking about him, like, oh, like, does he make loads of money? And I was like,
oh my God.
I was like, first of all, I don't know, because I actually had only just met Dom at the time. I was like, I don't actually know. But I was also like,
that's
not what
so
I'm here for.
So weird.
But that's not what I'm here for. Also, are you like trying to move to him through me? It was so weird. Anyway, and then we basically hooked up. And
then you hooked up after that?
We hooked up with the film Spencer playing. You know, the Kirsten, it was, but then he put on house music. Oh my God, no. It was really embarrassing that I think about it. But,
wait, so, oh my God, the fucking Spencer
to House Music Pipeline. It was so awkward, actually, got up and, like, put it on. It was so weird.
But, sorry, I could never, ever bang someone to house music. Yeah. Lem has a really good fucking playlist. To be fair, right now, we just play, you know, Tame Impala's, like, new album, the one that came out before lockdown. Mm. We listen to that album.
I just, like...
It's like whenever I hear Borderline, my pussy gets wet. Sorry.
Put on like, you know, like have your mixes on Spotify. Mm-hmm. Usually my chill mix is fine. Yeah. It's just like R&B, like chill stuff. imagine I'm just there like, yeah, I don't know, just put on Craig David.
Craig David all over your
boy. But yeah, what was yours?
Mine was Lem.
Yeah, and yeah. I know all about that.
You know, so. Exactly. I'm not going to, I mean, everyone knows.
You don't want to disclose it, though, I guess, because...
To be fair, I don't care. Like, I don't, but it's more just like,
it's
there's not
standard,
there's not
yeah.
a lot to tell. Like, it's literally like, I messaged him a week before, like,
are you
in Potter's Bar?
Yeah.
I'm horny. And then he was like, no, I'm not, but I'll be around next week. Like, he literally nearly got the train home early to see me. Yeah.
Damn.
And then we ended up seeing each other a week later. But what was really funny was that I so we were sat in his garden, right? Mm-hmm. Having some Prosecco, like having Ooh, fun. Like it was a really fun time.
Yeah. It was over like summer, right?
Yeah, it was over the summer. So we sat in his garden and then basically his brother got home, you know, Zach. Zach got home. And obviously I'd never met any of his fam before. Yeah. So his brother got home and then I had to like walk past and I just heard Zach go, who's that? And it felt like a reverse walk of shame. And you know what's so funny is that me and Zach are really close now.
Yeah.
So like I'm going to me, him and Lem are going to Birmingham tomorrow. Oh, yeah, we're going to Birmingham.
Out, that's where I was born.
Shout out Birmingham. We're great, going there right? to see Lem's uncle.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so no, I like Zach a lot. That's funny, though, that he said that.
It was funny. Like, it literally felt like a reverse walk of shame. All of his friends were there, too. And I literally, I felt like a whore, but in like a good way.
Yeah, I was going to say, at the end of the day, like, it's funny now that you look back.
So. Yeah.
Next one. Oh, the first time you moved out. Okay. So, for me, this was actually for university. I went to Bournemouth University, moved at 18. Like, I didn't take a gap year. And it was interesting. It was with complete randoms, so that's always interesting.
Did you stay friends with any of them?
Yeah, Misha and Rob were two of them.
Oh!
Yeah, it was kind of crazy, but basically the way that it worked for Bournemouth, at least, I don't know if it's every university, but it was like you had a little profile that you had, and you basically like sign up to one of the student accommodations, and like you said, like what you like, what you don't like, how old, what you're studying. But we had an exchange student from like the Philippines who was in his final year, and I was like, what are you doing in halls? That's
I didn't realise you were allowed to go in halls in your final year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had quite a few in final year in halls because it was during COVID and there weren't that many houses. Like, yeah, so a lot of people actually moved into halls. And to be fair, there were some really nice ones. But yeah, we had those two, my two friends, Misha and Rob, who like, yeah, I've stayed friends with, were very, very chill. And then we had like two other people, who one of which was a nightmare. And,
really?
Like, I'm not even hyping this up, but like we literally would do a pre-drinks, like just us three, just to go out, like as you would in halls in like first year. It would be 10 p.m. and she'd tell us like, when are you going? We just started. Oh. Like, we're not into the club till like 11 minimum. And it was just like, I don't know.
You're
just
in made uni, it yeah. like get a grip.
She made us put up a bin chart, like a chart of who was doing the bins, and then never did it. Because apparently she couldn't. I don't know. Weird. But yeah, so that was the first time I moved. It was all right. It definitely had its problems, but it could have been worse. So.
Yeah, the first time I moved out, because obviously I didn't go uni, the first time I moved out was when later, I moved into literally like 2 years ago in my old world's hottest flat.
Oh my God, that was...
See, the thing is, it's such a shame because my landlord, all landlords are bastards apart from my old landlord.
Yeah, no,
like, obviously I still disagree with landlordism and hoarding property as a whole. Yeah, I obviously solely disagree with the making a profit off of you know, a like a human necessity that is living somewhere.
But I get you get your like diamonds in the rough where it's like you get the odd one that you can actually do things for you.
Yeah, like I knew him personally, I paid him like personally. He would always get things fixed literally straight away. He promised to not put my rent up next year, but obviously I wasn't going to stay because it was actually the world's hottest flat.
Outside of that, it wasn't that bad of a flat.
It was a lovely flat. Yeah. You know,
especially
really,
for just you.
It was like, really good on my own, and the rent prices were really good too. Yeah. But like, it literally was, I cannot even begin to explain how hot my old flat was. Like, in the summer, especially because we had a summer where there was just heat waves.
Oh, it was terrible.
It was
last year,
awful. Like, it genuinely was like inhumane. Like, me and Lem were actually sleeping on the floor of the living room at some points. And I remember I helped him do a couple of viewings and literally everyone was there was like, is it normally this hot? And I was like, yeah,
it's bad.
And I I was like, the landlord said he's gonna put in an air conditioning unit, which I hopefully he did.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you know, he literally I left a 13-inch scratch on the floor. I left the flat in a little bit of a mess. He helped me clear up, helped me move out, and gave me my full deposit back.
This is the thing. I think when it comes to landlords, I mean, again, like, yeah, the concept itself is really bad, but I think when it comes to independent landlords that aren't with a letting agency, they tend
sometimes
to be,
they can be
better.
Yeah, they tend to be better. Like, the arsehole landlords want to go for a letting agency because they literally, it's just free
it's
money
easy.
To them.
It's easy. Yeah.
My letting agents are fucking useless. Like, I would literally rather let things, like, be broken than have to contact them because they fucking suck. Yeah.
But, no, I had a landlord in my third year who, he was independent and he, like, sorted everything out. He came for regular checkups, check-ins, like, just to see how everything was going.
See, that's the thing. I wish I knew my landlord because I feel like if my landlord actually met me, saw how nicely I've done this flat, by the way, because the last person, it wasn't like a shithole or anything, but like he didn't do anything nice. If he saw like how much effort I've made, then it would make him want to have like a long-term relationship with
this
me.
Is what but I mean,
these landlords, they don't care about like keeping long-term tenants.
Our rent's just gone up to about 3k, which we're not staying because that's ridiculous. We were paying like basically around nearly half of that before, like 500 off. So
that is so
that's
shit.
Landlords for you. But yeah.
So your first friendship fallout.
Ooh, okay. I don't think I really had any in primary school, for being honest. I did have a lot of like close friends. I don't think I'd fell out with any of them. Definitely was secondary school when all of the subgroup chats were made, like sorting things out kind of vibe. You know what I mean? Like the friend group would have a problem.
I wasn't in any friendship group, so I never had that problem.
Well, anyway, it was basically like my friend group was just kind of a bunch of like adolescent boys that would play like Minecraft and like Xbox stuff. And I think it was with just one of my close friends, and we just kind of had a little mini fallout for like a week over something. I can't remember exactly what. It would always be something stupid. Like, I remember one of the biggest things that happened was someone set up a mini game in Minecraft and we weren't paying attention to the rules. So he like quit the game, went offline. No joke, for about a week, just didn't speak to us. And I'm like, come on. Like, it was ridiculous.
That's funny.
But yeah, I guess like the biggest fallout was probably like a big proper one was mainly in college, but I think it was more to do with my mental health at the time. For some reason, I had this really like bad complex when it came to my friends that they didn't actually like me, and that like
I get like that now. Yeah,
any
like,
moment without them, it was like
it makes you self sabotage. It's exactly. A self fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? Because when you think that you're paranoid that your friends hate you, they will just end up hating you because you're being really annoying.
Yeah, and but I didn't speak to one of them for like about a week because I was just like, oh, you don't like me, so I'm just not going to talk to you. And then like that just evolved more, and then it like went into the friendship group. Like, it just evolved into the friendship group. And then I remember I was walking home one day and two of them came up to me and were like, why are you not talking to us? I was like, I thought you guys didn't like me. So, yeah, it really do be yourself sometimes.
You should grow a moustache. Your moustache is looking really thick right now.
Thank you.
Sorry,
I shaved it. I shaved it before I came. I think this is the best part of my facial hair.
You should just shave the rest of it and keep the moustache.
I would, but I need to get that jawline back in shape first.
If you had a moustache, you would fuck. Like, I'm not even joking.
There you go.
Yeah. You're welcome. There you go. My first friendship fallout was in primary school. I was in year three. And my two best friends made an I Hate Jordan club.
Did you say this in the group chat the other day?
I did. Yeah. I said it in the group chat. They made an I Hate Jordan club.
That is so... Like, I said this in the group chat because basically we were just going over our, like, experiences in school. And she mentioned this and I went, like, they are so brutally honest, like, children when they're around that age where they start developing, like, more complex emotions and thoughts towards, like, friends. They just don't have the morality.
There's no nuance to their brains. Yeah.
So they're like, oh yeah, no, I actually really hate you and you smell. Yeah. It's like, you can't say that to someone and not expect a consequence.
Yeah. Well, what happened was it all basically blew up like after school one day. And basically there was like this book.
Oh God.
There was a notebook.
Oh my God, like a burn book.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was all just about me. There was, what I remember is there was drawings.
Oh my God.
And there was also... There was also a mind map.
They were brainstorming
about how much they hated me, like all the reasons why they hate me. And then basically, it went off. My mum was furious. The teacher was also furious. And then basically the mums of the two girls were also absolutely furious with them. It was crazy.
Where does that behavior come from? Because I have had like moments in the past where I've definitely been like a bad person to someone, but like I can't, like, not to that level.
Well, I just think if you're so young, like, I don't have any like hard feelings about it at all, because like at the end of the day we were 8 years old. But also I just think if you're so young, 8 years old, and you like are full of so much hate, there's clearly something going on
somewhere.
At home.
Yeah, no,
so
course,
like
yeah.
I don't get, I'm not like mad about it at all. Yeah. Like it is really funny actually when I tell people that someone made an I Hate Jordan club. Most of my stepdad asked if he could join.
Well, we're here now, so it's all good, you know? Oh my God. Okay. Oh my God, the first video game you ever played. Woo! It was like rip-off kind of Game Boy mini game thing of, do you know the game Snake, where it's just like that thing and you eat things, you get bigger? It was just that. And I remember I was in a hospital for something. I wasn't in hospital. I think it might have been around my brother's birth, maybe, or something like to do with family. And my dad gave it me, and I think it was originally his maybe, and I was glued to it. Like, and it was just the most basic thing. Like, you couldn't have it in the light because you wouldn't be able to see the screen. Like, it wasn't lit up or anything, But I'd say that that's where my real like gaming era started.
Mine was, I remember getting a Game Boy for boxing for Christmas.
Yeah.
I think it was like a silver one. I don't really remember. The only game that I remember on there is the Rugrats game.
Okay.
But the other game that I remember is, first of all, PlayStation 2 revolutionized gaming. Incredible.
I got my dad's
and
one.
And
yeah.
The two games that I remember really, really vividly from my PlayStation, no, my three games. First of all, SSX Tricky.
I never
the snowboard
those
is
games,
so good.
But they look like, yeah.
And then I sometimes watch YouTube playthroughs just to feel something. and then also the Chamber of Secrets game.
My cousin had that.
So
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
And then also there was a Narnia game that I played. Oh, and then the last one, which is the one which stuck in my memory the most, is iToy.
Oh my God.
Did you have iToy?
Yes.
So good.
The ninja one. Oh.
Oh my God. And the washing windows.
Yeah. With like the UFOs that would come in.
Yeah.
We'd have to like put our... We had like our... So behind us was like a double... not double bed. A bunk bed. So we'd have to get a mattress sheet and put it over because obviously it would like...
It would always trigger it off and stuff. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I very into that. I had Spider-Man 2 for the PlayStation 2. Those games out there know it's the best game of all time on PlayStation at least. Best Spider-Man game there is. It's so good. It was like based off the film. The swinging was amazing. Star Wars Battlefront had, which again was just good.
Lots of the Lego games were good.
Oh my God, yeah. I remember like there were a couple of times where I'd have like parents' evening and I'd come back and I'd like done well because I was a nerd, and I'd come back and I'd see a Lego game and it was like because I'd done so well, and I was like screaming, and my parents would let me like put the PlayStation in the main room and play it. Oh, I miss being a kid.
The first time you dyed your hair?
2018.
Was it when you bleached it?
Yeah, well, bleached. Yeah, I was basically ginger.
I bleached my hair and went ginger too. I mean, obviously I'm ginger now, but like when I was 15, I tried to bleach my hair with a L'Oreal kit and it went ginger.
Yeah, mine was one of the at-home kits. Was it? Who did it? I think my mum did it, but basically like I assumed that it was blonde enough and it wasn't. And then I went to LA where it was really sunny and all of the pictures, it's just like, you can just tell that it's like basically ginger slash looks fried.
Aww.
But it's fine. We grew from that, and I re-dyed my hair later and it worked well.
Yeah. So. I think my first color I dyed my hair was, I used to have red hair when I was 13.
Oh, that was such a classic.
Edgy.
Yeah. You'd always get the kids in like secondary school, the blue
the,
or like
the
red
burgundy
hair.
It was like burgundy.
Oh, it was in the Rihanna
was,
era. That's why.
Yeah, that's why. It was when Cheryl Cole had red hair too.
Yeah.
And I love Cheryl Cole. And it was L'Oreal Black Cherry Casting Creme Gloss.
Ooh.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Oh, there's only a few left. Your first kiss. Oh my God. Okay, so my first kiss, like if we're basing it in terms of like this just happened, was when I was like... 8 maybe. I was in primary school, right? Crazy. And basically it was one of my like best friends, but also I think she liked me, but also it's just is in primary school, so you can't really tell whether it's a friendship or you just like love them platonically, I think. But basically we were at her house chilling, and but like outside, like playing in like the area, and she was like, can I kiss you? And I was like, yeah, like at the time I was so like, I don't know, but sure. And we like went around the side of the house because like we had other friends with us. So it was like, you can't watch. We have to do it in secret. And it was literally just a peck. And it was like, it felt so forced and weird, like on both ends. But it was just like, there you go. Outside of that, like secondary school, I guess like first girlfriend was probably that.
How old were you?
It was year 8.
Oh my God. I was 16 when I had my first kiss.
What can I say? I was a player.
No, I was a late one on that.
Yeah, and was it like a proper kiss though?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. Because like, yeah, I first kiss was a peck, and then with the girlfriend, it was like, yeah, a little bit, but not like.
Yeah, it was. It was like at a hall party, like you know, like a hall party.
You like
16.
Rent out.
I'd gotten I'd gotten drunk, and I kissed this guy in my year. And I just remember so vividly, it was, we like went off and it was like outside a Salvation Army.
Oh my, what a scenic location.
And to be fair, I don't really remember, all I remember is that he was really drunk too. So like it did not last long at all. But what I do remember is that the following like week at school, everyone
was talking about
and rinsing him about it.
Oh,
oh my God, not a single person rinsed me.
Well, is that good or bad?
I mean, that's bad because everyone was rinsing him for kissing me. Like, it was L after L in school. Like, yeah, no, so he got absolutely rinsed for kissing me. I remember just everyone was, not to be fair, not everyone was talking about it. I think I'm hyping myself up a little bit too much.
No, but it feels like it when you hear like one thing, you're like, oh my God, everyone must be like, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it genuinely was not that bad at all. It was just...
I mean, it's never going to be perfect, is it? Like, again, there were, like, we'd bump noses and like accidentally hit heads and stuff, like,
I remember when I had like this, technically it was my first of a boyfriend, but he was only we went on like 5 dates. I think that I liked him, but I just really liked him platonically. Like, I really, really wanted us to but there was just a block there. And the thing is, he was cute. Like, he was cute. Like, he had like nice hair, he was wearing glasses, he worked at Waitrose. Ooh. And the way that he chatted me up was he gave like a note to one of my coworkers, because I worked at the Starbucks and it was in the South Mimms the service station. He gave a note to one of the coworkers with his number and was like, can you give that to the girl over there?
That's cute.
He took me out on like 5 different dates, paid for it all, he drove everything. But that was just to be fair, he was 21 and I was 17. Which I feel like is a bit weird. Like, when I was that age, I was like, oh my God, so cool. And to be fair, I don't think it's weird on his end. I don't think he meant it weirdly. But, like, it is a bit strange to be dating someone who can't even legally drink and you're finishing uni.
I always say this, like, even... because a lot of people are like, well, I'm 17, I'm basically an adult. You're not. I think, like, hit 18 and you start becoming an adult. But then from 18 to, 21 is where you go through real life shit. And you, like, mature so much more. So, yeah, that is interesting. I think maybe it was more to do with, like, the time, because obviously it was quite a few years ago.
I remember we became boyfriend and girlfriend, and it's literally, like, I was like, oh, my God, like, what have I done? Like, I was having fun, but then I was like, oh, my God, my boyfriend. Yeah. I started, like, really freaking out about it.
Really?
I remember in school, I was like, guys, I have to, like, oh, I can just wait until after the summer, and then I can break up with him. And I remember this guy at my school was like, if you're, like, looking forward to breaking up with him, I think you should just break up with him now. And I was like, okay, true. And then I do remember when I went around his house, we were trying to kiss, and our teeth kept clashing together. And things, I'd gotten some kissing experience under my belt at that point, and our teeth kept clanging together. It was so bad. But to be fair, I think it's just like our chemistry wasn't right. I don't think it was that he was a bad kisser or I was a bad kisser.
I was gonna say it's just down to
I ended up dumping him over text, and I like literally offered to transfer him the money for the dates because I felt so guilty. reimburse you for all your hassle and all the time I wasted. And then I remember this girl in my year who also worked at the South Mim service station. Went to Waitrose on her lunch and saw him, went, oh, do you know Jordan? Like, I heard you. And he went, yeah, I do know her, but we're not together anymore. And he was like really pissed off about it. And then I unfollowed him on Instagram. But
it is what it is. People get pissed off.
But you know, I dumped him and then he got a puppy.
Oh.
A Labrador puppy.
They always do that. They always, like, as soon as it ends, like, the relationship, they always just do something. You're like,
so annoying.
Why don't you do that when we were together? So annoying.
The first movie you ever watched, like, in the cinema...
Oh,
because back in our day, cinema tickets used to cost about £2.
Yeah, I used to do this thing a lot where me and my friend would on Saturdays go to the Odeon. They used to do this little Odeon club thing where you were kids and you'd go and it's like a little game show before the film. Like, they'd have like a spin the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, fun!
It was really fun. Like, it would be like 11 a.m. on a Saturday. We'd hang out, go do that, and then they'd put on like a random film. I remember once. Do you know the Studio Ghibli film Ponyo?
Yes.
They put that on, but we thought we were going to see this film called, like, Planet 51, like, a regular kids film. And then we end up watching an anime film, and bear in mind, we're, like, 10, so we're like, what the fuck is going on? Because it was all in, like, Japanese as well.
Oh, it was like, subtitled. Yeah, kids hate subtitles.
I was like, what is going on? I was not expecting this, but first ever film, I'm not sure. First film that, like, meant something to me, like, wasn't just, like, I'm just gonna go and, you know, watch it, was Interstellar. That is...
I don't fucking get that film.
I think it is definitely like weird, and I think some of it makes like no sense, but it was just one of the first films that got me into film, and I think really like inspired me to do like a media degree and stuff, because I came out of it and I was like, my life is different now. I was in a TGI's, I was thinking about my life, I was like, damn, that film really changed me. But
the first film I ever watched in the cinema was either Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Yes, I was alive when that came out in the cinema. Oh,
I never watched any of them in the cinema.
I remember me and my sister's babysitter took us, and it's fucking scary. And I cried, and she had to take me outside because me and my sister were both crying. And then the last film I watched, I think this was like the first, and it was actually my first ever memory, I think, one of my first ever memories, was Monsters, Inc.
Oh, so I just
remember.
Monsters,
I don't remember anything about the movie, like at the time. Obviously, I know the movie now, but like all I remember was like all the doors in the intro.
Yeah, loved Monsters,
good
Inc.
Movie.
Such good. I was a kid, and my nan said that apparently, she'd come and like look after me, and all I would do all day is repeat that film.
I used to do that with Tarzan. Yeah. I had Tarzan on back in our day, guys. We used to have to watch films on videotapes.
Oh my god!
And
yeah,
you
I had
to have to rewind it to watch it, and I remember literally, I cannot believe that we used to have to rewind.
You had to basically
watch
the film backwards in like times 10
and it would take ages. It would take like 20 minutes to rewind the entire film.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah, I had Pokemon the first movie on, sorry, I'm such a nerd. I had Pokemon the first movie on VHS, but it was so good because you'd play it and like, you know how you'd have the trailers before it? There was this trailer for Scooby-Doo and the Alien Invaders that was genuinely a bit scary, and every time it went on, I was like, oh, I'm a bit scared, but like, this looks cool. And, oh my god, what was the other one? Oh, another Pokemon movie, which I was like, why don't I have that? But
do you remember the feeling of when you used to be like all ready to watch a movie and then you used to put the videotape in and you forgot to rewind it?
And you
got to
be like, oh my god.
Like, oh brother, this guy stinks. Like,
yeah.
So mad about it.
Thank god they've got the play from the beginning button now, because
I mean, do you remember DVD players? Yeah. My brother, he used to have, like, his DVD player collection was insane because he was always a bit touchy on holiday. He had to have, like, he was basically like an iPad kid, but it was before iPads. So it was like a DVD player kid. Yeah. And I remember, and it used to have, like, the, like, booklet of all DVDs.
Yeah, the binder with all of
the CDs. And then the DVD player would be there and you could attach it to the back of a car seat and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I had, I don't know what I had on DVD. I had Shrek 2. That was great.
Oh, with the bloody
bonus features.
Simon.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, that's what I miss. I miss bonus features because they don't do that on like Netflix, obviously. Because why would you do that?
Mm.
But I miss it because it would just, you'd get more than you thought you would get.
Oh, you know what? I was watching Girls, which by the way is filmed like early 2010s. Ray. Get something on Netflix, and then she's like, oh, your Netflix arrived.
Yeah, because it was like Blockbuster. Yeah, yeah.
What a time to be alive.
We're so old.
We're so old.
Okay, so speaking of old, I guess, your first job. My first job was when I was 16, and it was, do I say where it was?
Yeah.
It was at Next. Which,
oh my god, my sister worked at Next. She said it was hell on earth. And also they pay people the most measly fucking wages when you're a teenager.
Yeah,
she got paid like £3 an hour or something.
Okay, well mine wasn't that bad.
Well,
but
my
it
sister
was,
worked longer before
it
you.
It was minimum. And I was on women's wear. Bear in mind I'm a 16-year-old boy with no sisters or like I don't know shit about women,
you know,
basically,
women.
Yeah, and I was assigned to like lingerie at times, and I was just there like, what is going on? The fitting rooms, I was like, well, if anyone has a problem, I'm not going in, because what the hell?
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, it was okay. I think the main problem was just that my manager, like manager of the store, was a twat, like, because you'd have an online clock in and clock out system and like book your days off.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that they did a lot of bank holiday stuff and sales. I just wasn't keeping up with bank holidays. I was fucking 16. What do you mean? So I was going to see my family on the weekend and I was like, oh, like I'll see you. He was like, I'll see you Monday. And I was like, I only work Saturdays. So no, I'll see you next Saturday. And he was like, no, there's a sale. And I was like, oh, I didn't know. Like no one told me that Next do them. And like no one had informed me. And he was like, oh, okay, well, don't let this happen again or you're fired. And
it
I was like, I have been here for
violent.
A week.
It literally makes me fucking violent. I hate those bosses that are so horrible to their teenage employees. Like, why are you beefing a teenager for? You're literally 40 years old.
Yeah, and then also did the Boxing Day sale, and that was...
Oh my God.
Leave. If you work at X before the Boxing Day sale happens, leave. There, I saw a 30-year-old woman run out crying at 6 a.m. And I was going into my shift, and I was like... What's going on? I was scared.
She was crying.
Like, I was going up to the staff room and I literally saw a woman bolt out the door, crying her eyes out. And I was like,
oh my God.
Well, honey,
sorry,
you got a
like,
big storm coming.
It's like, I mean, I've been really shocked at Next before, but like, what
it's
is going
because,
on at Next?
No offense, the mums are fucking animals. Women's wear's the worst. Go to men's wear, you'll be pretty chill. Women's wear, there were mums fighting over clothes.
Fighting over a floral blouse. Like, is it that deep?
Like, I'm not being funny, it's necks. Like, it's not exactly, like, you know, the top fashion out there. You could go to, like, Primark and get the same thing.
That's insane.
It was crazy, and I hated it, and after a year, I left.
You lasted a year? My sister was only there for 6 months, I think.
Yeah, I lasted a year, and I was like, I can't fucking do this anymore. And my pay wasn't going up or anything, and so many people had left. So then I went and worked at M&S, and it was one of the best jobs I've ever had. They literally made a job for me. Like, because basically I went and my manager was... It went from, like, the worst manager to the best. Like, I did the interview and she was like, unfortunately, someone took the role earlier, but I'm going to talk to the higher-ups and try and make a job for you. And I was like...
That's so... You know, right? You know what's meant to be a really good company to work for? Waitrose. Yeah. The place where my first ever boyfriend worked.
Yeah, they both pay really good. Like, M&S, I was getting, like, £9 an hour. Bear in mind, I was, like, 17. So... That's just more money than
what I got when I was a beautician.
I was going to say, that's just money, right? And it's like, I worked like a few hours here and there. All of the people I worked with were like older people and they just gossiped to me about each other. It was great. I love, if I had to like go and work back in retail, I'd choose M&S and I'd go right back to that one. And I'd be like, yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Sure.
My first job was Starbucks.
Oh, every teenager's dream.
It was not a dream.
But gone wrong. That's the thing. So many people think that it's easy and chill.
I think the thing what made it really bad was like if I worked at a... not saying that a normal run-of-the-mill Starbucks isn't stressful, especially if you live in like a busy area, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
But I feel like if I lived in a regular run-of-the-mill Starbucks that was like in a locals, town. Like yeah. If I worked at the Costa near me or something, it would be a different story.
Yeah.
I worked at the Starbucks in a South Mimms service station, which is off the M25.
The thing is with service stations is you're going to get weird people.
It was a drive-thru.
I hate that. Oh my God.
Was two streams of traffic. I was 16 when I got the job.
At all times
and
as well.
To be fair, one thing I will say is that I loved everyone that worked there was like 16, apart from like the managers and some other people. It was like everyone that I worked with, a majority of people that I worked with were really nice. Like it was a good experience. Like my bosses, even though some of them could be crazy, can I blame them? Because they were working, they were trying to manage a bunch of 16-year-olds. Like
exactly.
I cannot blame them for some of them being a little bit crazy. But overall, it was a very positive experience. But the thing is that I genuinely cannot begin to describe the stress that I experienced at that job.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, bear in mind, obviously, I always go on about how YouTube isn't that much of a stressful job because it is, but because it isn't. But sometimes, like, do you remember that time when I was ill and I had to work 18 days in a row because I had like two deadlines?
You get that, those moments.
You get
like
those moments where
stress.
You're just like, it's such intense work. Yeah. But like, nothing is as stressful as working at a Starbucks drive-thru. And the only story I have really was that I remember it was I'd been working there for like 2 years. It had been a really busy shift. Two people hadn't showed up. There was no milk.
We ran out of milk, so we
had to go to the other Starbucks across the road to pick up milk.
Yeah.
And they were being really stingy about their fucking milk. And basically, this woman comes in and she orders like a frappuccino, a latte, like all this stuff. And I'm like, a frappuccino in fucking winter, you bitch. But I was literally like, okay, cool, whatever.
So I'm making it.
And I'm like making this frappuccino and I'm putting extra, there's this syrup called base syrup, which basically is what makes the drink runny. They always say, put one pump of syrup in there. But I'm like, no, you need about 2.5 to make it like actually drinkable. So I put it in and this woman goes, excuse me, you put too much base in there? And I said, I was like, oh, sorry. I was like, first of all, the pump's actually broken on this. And second of all, I was ill as well. So I could barely speak to her. I was like, and also I'm just trying to make it a bit easier for you to drink. And then basically I just gave her a drink. So I went, okay. And then literally just, I gave it to her. I couldn't even be able to be like, enjoy, because I was like so stressed, so pissed off. There were so many customers. This woman works at Starbucks headquarters.
Well, I was going to say, crazy that she knew what base was.
Yeah, she worked at Starbucks headquarters. She gave me a card. I had to give it to my manager who... By the way, he wasn't the manager, he was like a shift supervisor and nicest man in the world. Like whenever I had a job interview, he always used to give me the shift off. He was like, you know, it's like your work bestie's like a random 40-year-old man. Like that was my work bestie.
That was in M&S, it was like a 6-year-old woman and it was great.
I told him, I was like, she just gave me this card and he went, Jordan, what have you done? What have you done? And I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, she was being a bitch.
Yeah.
Like I was chatting smack, the most fucking smack about her in the back room. And then I was like, here's my, like, cause she asked my manager.
Yeah.
And then basically what my big boss found out and was like mad. To be fair, I never really got like a proper bollocking for it because I think even the like big manager of like the entire service station understood that I was under so much stress stress that, like, there was no point giving me a bollocking about it.
Yeah.
Like, it literally was just like a, Jordan, make sure you actually, like, follow the recipes and stuff like that. But they ended up giving a strike against the store because they said the experience was so bad, which, bear in mind, I still didn't think it was that bad, but they said that they gave the store a strike and three strikes and the store shuts down.
Jesus. Yeah.
But in fact, I think those strikes are bullshit because if you work at Starbucks, why would you want a Starbucks store to shut down?
It's stupid. And that's why I hate stuff as well, like mystery shoppers, because
realistically,
why are you making me stay on my toes all the damn time? Something that might not happen. Like, you can send in an exec and obviously, like, yeah, we might make it a bit better, but, like, realistically, it's going to stay at a certain level every time. Like, you're not going to be able to change it overnight to make it better, but crazy. Is this the last one?
Last one. Woo!
I'm just going to read it because your first crush. Oh my God. Okay. Was it a celebrity?
It could be a celebrity or it can be a real person. I think mine, like, obviously, like, you always have that crush when you're in primary school of, like, the only, it feels weird saying good looking boy because they're probably like seven, but, like, you know, the like the cute boy,
they'd
like,
always
the popular
be the one
boy.
That would have
but the thing is that I remember it so vividly. Actually, I remember my first crush was on this boy in primary school, and the thing is about, like, we never used to speak to each other. The only reason I had a crush on him, and it's so weird, the only reason I had a crush on him was because he was, like, good looking, he was a popular boy. But then also, I could just, it's so weird when you're a child how you sort of picture your crushes. Yeah. I literally just used to picture us getting married even though I was, like, 6 years old.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, so I actually had a crush on one of the sugar babes.
Oh my God, which one?
Full circle, the blonde one.
Oh, Heidi.
I remember they did, it was, I'd watched the music video for Push the Button.
Oh, which, that was a
let
sexual
me just say,
awakening.
Yeah, I was like six watching that. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like,
you
it
know
was
what,
so
you know what
sexual.
Was my sexual awakening? I remember my sexual awakening so vividly.
What was it?
Scooby-Doo movie, live action.
Like the first one?
No, live action first movie. That was my sexual awakening.
Oh,
I remember
yeah.
for some reason, it was the, it was weird actually, my sexual awakening was a woman and I didn't realize I was bisexual until like very late
oh,
in my life.
Was it the Shaggy's girlfriend?
No, it was Linda Cardinale. When she when she gets taken over by like and she wears that low cut.
Yeah. Also when is it I don't know if I can't tell if that's like, Velma.
Yes, yeah. It's Velma. Linda
when
Cardinale.
She wears the latex in the second one.
Yeah.
Oh my God, like they were raunchy films.
Yeah. So I remember that was my sexual awakening. My first crush was like this random boy in my year, but it literally was like we never used to talk. It was just because like I thought he was cute and he was popular. But like my first celebrity crush was, I think it was either Draco from Harry Potter, but I feel like that was like slightly when I was a little bit older, like 11. But like, I remember I had the biggest crush on Fred Weasley. Like he was
really
just, yeah
weird.
Yeah,
also he's
like,
a twin.
Yeah, but like they, first of all, they do look a bit different.
They do.
They
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
Second of all, there was something about like his. I just love funny guys. There's something about a class clown. Like if the class clowns like weren't like. Like, he was a good class clown. He wasn't ever, like, horrible to people, you know?
Yeah.
He was a good class clown.
He just brought life to the
I'm
to
just,
the
I'm just, I always date funny guys.
Yeah.
Like, Lem's funny.
He is. He really is.
Yeah. Like, I always date those very, like, funny, kind
They've
of popular guys.
They've got, like, a charm
guys.
To them. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's fair enough. Yeah, I had a crush in school. Well, I had, like, I guess we weren't a thing because it was in primary school and we were literally, like, yeah, four or five. But I remember there was this bridge in our playground, like it was a really nice playground. It had like a bridge going over this thing and it was like the marriage bridge. So you'd go there, get married, you'd basically just walk across the bridge and hold hands.
Aww.
And then you'd like run off and you'd have all these people running after you. No clue why. Clearly we had no idea what marriage was or what any of it entailed, but it was this one girl and we got married. Imagine she comes to me and she's like, I want
to
be
married.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, I actually remember, do you remember like when you first ever discovered sex when you were like a very young child?
Yeah. Well, again,
and, like,
music videos
again,
and stuff
were
so sexual.
It was pre-masturbating. Like I'd never masturbated before, but I actually remember me and my friend, we were playing with my doll's house when we were like 8 years old.
Do you know why
old.
I thought you were going to say dong then? playing my dong? I think the time has hit me a bit.
And we like had the I might have to get Kat to cut this out because this is a weird story.
Yeah.
We were playing with my doll's house and I remember we were like we had like the dolls and we pretended that the dolls had sex with each other and then I remember we like the dolls had like a little quilt and
did you like put them under the quilt?
No, we like flipped the quilt over and said it's so stupid. We said that the quilt said like I asked.
Had what?
And we said that that said I heart sex on it.
What the fuck?
We didn't even know what sex was.
Well, how old were you?
We were like 8.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, like, I was friends with a lot of guys growing up, and obviously, you know, they always are like, oh my God, did you see this video about this girl, this porn star, blah, blah, blah. Like, it wasn't really around that age. It was more secondary school, but Two Girls, One Cup was out.
Do you remember
stuff,
seeing
and it was like,
Page
what is going
three?
On? Yeah, oh yeah, Page Three.
Page
was
Three,
huge.
What was that all
I went,
about?
I went on a school trip, and I remember we came back, and we had to get the train, and there was this guy, like, adult man, sat next to me. I guess it was just a full train. It wasn't even, I don't think, The Sun. I think it was a porn mag.
Nuts
it was a
magazine.
Porn magazine.
Was it
Bear in mind,
magazine?
I'm a 10-year-old child, and I'm just there like, what the fuck is going on? And he was just flipping through it. So I was like, what the fuck is happening?
I remember when literally men just used to buy Nuts magazine.
It's crazy.
Shamelessly. And just used to like flick through it in the street.
Like it's just the paper.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And he's like, there's no writing.
No.
Like, what
it's
are
like,
you
I'm sorry,
reading?
You're buying that for a reason.
You're just watching, you're just reading porn, but it's not even like you're reading an erotic book where there's a bit of plot. It's just the girls out with their
porn.
Titties.
Yeah, it is just porn. And like, boring porn at that. Technically.
It's insane that people used to masturbate over magazines. Like, just pictures. Did you... Is that the first... Oh, my God, we should have put
I was
going to
say, like, my sexual awakening furthered. I had this gaming magazine, of course. This is... I'm just such a gamer, guys. And it was a cosplayer as one of the Mortal Kombat girls, or, like, Lara Croft or something. It was a few. And they had, like, the cleavage out and everything. And
did you masturbate? Over?
Little 14-year-old me was like, damn.
Well, the first time I masturbated and actually had an orgasm, it was an accident. Like, I didn't... All I was,
oh, I knew. I knew
like,
what I was doing.
I didn't even really know what I was doing. But then I ended up having the first ever orgasm of my life.
Yeah.
And I had it reading fan fiction.
We had had a sex ed class that day. And, like, essentially they told
fucking
you
hell,
what
did
to
your
do.
Homework, Matt?
They didn't tell you what to do, but they were like, you touch that area and
yeah,
it feels
I
good.
Remember.
And I was like, damn, I'm gonna try this at home.
Yeah. I remember our sex education class, we got it when we were 11, like the masturbating class, and I remember it just said like, your penis will go hard and it'll feel funny when you touch it. And it's just like, and I remember they mixed the girls and the boys together and the boys were a nightmare. Like the girls were like, stop, we're trying to listen.
Yeah, the boys are terrible for sex ed, like.
Yeah, but we got the period one on our own. But as soon as we need to learn about male masturbation, they're like, oh, don't worry, we can mix it all up.
Yeah, not great. Oh, my God. Anyway, wow. what a podcast
what
this has
an
been.
Episode. Oh I hope God. You guys enjoyed listening.
I've enjoyed being here personally.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys want me to have Jake back on again or any other guests, if this podcast episode even sees the light of day, if this
hopefully.
Microphone decides to not come
you know
out.
What? Knowing what the God does with the weather, I will not be shocked if this camera, like, just... burst into flames right
but,
now.
Good chat.
Great chat. And chat. I think a very normal chat from us, to be honest. I don't think this felt...
I mean, we had to keep ourselves censored, obviously. I mean, to be fair, we've gone 2 hours without gossiping. Or was all of this just gossiping?
No, not about people, though. About ourselves, which is fine.
True.
But
anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this episode, and I'll see you a couple of weeks for another one. Bye!
Bye! Oh, my God. Oh. Bye!